speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
A friend, have you considered the fact that you might be lost? Not lost in the snow and ice of perhaps Alaska. Not lost in one of the great forests here in the United States. Are not lost in the deserts or the jungles of Africa. Not lost as a soldier behind the enemy lines, separated from his company. Yet lost, just the same. Loss, signifying a life wasted with no hope. No hope for the future. No hope for life everlasting. There is no way that we can escape or resign from life. When we breathed our first breath of life, we were launched out into eternity. Death does not end it all. Death is only the throwing back the dark veil, opening up the ages to come. And you may be lost throughout these endless ages of eternity. You may be lost because you have not sought after God. And I'm persuaded that the vast majority of people will be lost in spite of the fact that they may be even seeking after God, and yet seeking in vain. It's a disturbing thought to think that one can be lost. The Christian world has become confused and deluded into thinking that if they seek after God, they'll be saved. Many contend that all that's necessary to a man's salvation is being sincerity in his action. Yet we know that a man lost in the wastelands of the north can continually seek, and yet still remain lost, if he does not turn his face and steps in the right direction. All of his efforts will be in vain. Likewise, the man who's in the forest or jungle. We can dig a well and seek for water, but just because we seek is no sign that we'll find water. If we dig in the right place, we will, but if we dig in the wrong place, we won't find water. Merely seeking, merely the digging, will not accomplish the right end. There must be the dig in the right direction. Well, these things are simple for us to understand. And the same principles are true in the spiritual realm. It's hard to understand why men cannot see that when it comes to things that pertain to the soul's salvation, that more than just sincerity is needed. I'm sure you remember in your history of Cain and Abel, how that Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable unto God because he offered not that which God commanded. And yet I doubt that anyone would say that Cain was not seeking after God. Else why would he have offered a sacrifice in the first place? The only reason Cain could have had was that he was seeking favor with God, yet he was seeking it his own way. He sought God not in the right way. And today we may be lost because we seek God, but we don't seek Him the right way. All of our seeking can be in vain if it's not in God's prescribed way. And then there's another instance in the Old Testament history that shows this fact. You remember before the children of Israel had a king, when Samuel was judge and Eli was the chief priest, they were losing in a war. Some thought it would be wise to take the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the holy place of the tabernacle, set it on a cart, carried it into battle in order that God would be with them. All of this was in disobedience to God's command. And God punished them by letting the Philistines win the battle and even capture the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines were not blessed with the Ark, and finally they sent it back to the Israelites. It was brought on a cart to the land of Israel. As the oxen brought the cart into the land, the men of Israel took the Ark, placed it in the house of Abinadab, where it remained for some time. When David became king, one of the first things that he wanted to do was to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to its proper place. And that was a noble desire and a noble intention on David's part. God had given special instructions to Moses and to Aaron as to how the ark was to be carried. Certain men of the tribe of Levi were to carry the ark by inserting staves in the rings on each corner and carrying it on their shoulders. No man was to ever touch the ark itself. But David and those with him, in their zeal to receive the blessings of God and to get the ark back into the proper place, forgot about the law of God. And so the ark was placed on a cart. A man by the name of Uzzah, along with another, had the task of driving the oxen, caring for the ark. Now, no one would question their desire to seek after God. No doubt Uzzah and the other man were sincere, but sincerity did not smooth the road. And as they were going along the way, they came to a rough place in the road. The oxen stumbled. And the first thought, no doubt, that entered Uzzah's mind was that the ark might fall off the cart. Now, he didn't desire to gain personal glory or honor. No doubt his desire was for the safety of the ark. And the scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles 10, or rather chapter 13, verse 10, I read, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Well, David was so disturbed that he began immediately to search the law to find God's commands concerning the ark. And as he stood before the people, as preparations were made to bring the ark, David made this acknowledgement, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God has made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." Well, David said the children of Israel had made a breach, but David was the one who had initiated this. Friend, today your soul may stand lacking and waiting for the torments of hell because you seek not God after the due order. Since these things are true, there naturally follows this searching question: what determines our manner of seeking God in the due order? Now, if the people had sinned by not seeking God after the due order, we need to know what that due order is. The Lord and the Apostle Paul answered that question. Christ said in John 17, in his prayer to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, if God's word is truth, anything different and contrary or less than the word of God would be an untruth, and an untruth is a lie. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then to accept any other word than the gospel of the Lord Jesus is to direct our souls to destruction." Paul says again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 down through verse 9, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, those are serious words, that the Lord will take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. And yet many will say, "Well, we don't have to do anything by way of obedience. All that was done 2,000 years ago. Christ paid the price at Calvary. All you have to do is accept the gift." Yes, that's true. Accept the gift. But it must be accepted on God's terms. And so this verse in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 9 ought to make us quake, and it ought to shake us and move us to search the Scriptures, and to search the Scriptures alone to determine the due order by which we are to seek God. Remember those Bereans? Paul had passed from Thessalonica to Berea, and the Bereans, Acts 17, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and notice, and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. That should be our attitude, our frame of mind, that we search the Scriptures. And remember, man's words and man's writings cannot make one right in the sight of God. Man's thoughts, man's ideas are not God's. The Lord said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." The Bible, the Word of God, must be our only source of authority. And if you're not seeking God according to the Word of God, then you're lost, you're seeking in vain. The very purpose of our lesson is to help us to realize the need of following God after the due order. And to follow God in the due order means that we will have faith in God. We'll have faith in His Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said in Romans 10, verse 17, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But to hear alone and to believe alone, while that is required, is not acceptable. It's not enough. Paul says in the very same chapter, the 10th verse, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Hearing and believing and confessing the name of Christ does not put us in a position to seek the face of God. It doesn't mean that we have fulfilled our search. There must be a change of thought, a change of action. Paul informs us in the 17th chapter of Acts that God now commands all men everywhere to repent or to turn aside from sin. But these acts alone do not accomplish the desired end. By hearing, we're able to believe that there is a God, that He gave us His Son, Jesus. By repenting, we turn away from sin. By confession, we proclaim to the world that which we hold in our hearts, that Jesus is God's Son. But this still hasn't put us in a right relationship with God. Paul had done all of these things when Ananias told him, as related in Acts 22, verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Peter informs us in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, "Baptism doth now save us." And so I ask you to read these scriptures and to apply them and to be obedient to them. The only way we can obtain salvation is by following God after the due order, being obedient to Him. Are you following God in the due order?